Listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. When Christians Speak Talk Radio is a nonprofit ministry. We are dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus through our programs and special guests. We exist through the generous support of our listeners. If you are being blessed through this ministry and would like to give a love offering, go to our website and click on our donation page. Your donation will be processed through PayPal. Our prayer is that you may prosper, be in good health, even as your soul prospers. Unto the Lord, for He
as a 501c3 nonprofit ministry, all of your gifts are tax deductible. So go out to our website, www.whenchristianspeak.com. God bless you.
Listen to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio on Blog Talk Radio, iHeartRadio, Spreaker.com. All of our broadcasts are available as podcasts through SoundCloud, YouTube, iTunes, Blueberry.com, Zoom.com, Stitcher.com, Lisbon.com, and BlogTalkRadio.com. To listen to our broadcast by phone, dial 646-478-0660. Again, that number is 646-478-0660. Go visit and like our Facebook page, When Christians Speak Talk Radio. Also be sure to check out Christians Against Suicide and Depression. It's a page dedicated to sharing God's love, encouragement, and hope. There are prayer warriors standing by to receive prayer requests, doing intercession for those under attack by the lie and deception of the devil. We know that the devil came to steal, kill, and destroy, but praise God, Jesus came to set the captives free.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still. Praise the Lord, and welcome to another hour of Declaring the Finished Work. This is your host, Pat Randall, and here we are. We're headed into a new podcast series. The first episode aired last week, and the message is entitled, Where Are You Living? Where Are You Going? And these are spiritual questions, but we know that the impact of the spirit life on the natural life. So they're tied in together. This is not a separate life that we're living. And I think that probably creates a lot of problems for us trying to walk in this new life that we have as this new creation, because we're compartmentalizing our lives, our spiritual life and our natural life, but they are to work in unison. Amen. In unison, in perfect harmony, and the Spirit is directing our natural life. Amen. The unseen is what is creating what is seen. And I'll share some scriptures on that. Possibly some scriptures are already coming to mind about that. So let's get started. Father, I thank you and I praise you and I glorify your name this day. This is the day that you have made, and we choose to rejoice and be glad in it. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for your anointing. It is the anointing that breaks the yoke. I thank you that you are present with us, that we are never separated from you. So I thank you for your Spirit of power, your Spirit of love being upon us during this hour. I thank you that your word will go forth unhindered. I thank you that the listeners will be able to hear a word, a direct word from you, Lord God, that will transform them into that next place of glory. I thank you, Lord God, for your closeness and your heart toward us, and that we are special in your sight, that we are your beloved. So thank you. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for sending your only begotten Son, that you so loved the world, that you gave us your Son. We thank you for redemption, that we've been bought back. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I pray this in the name that is above every name, and that name is Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. So I am going to try and do a quick review, which is always difficult, but I am going to try and do a quick review. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Pray for me. So when I say, where are you living? Let me use another word for living. Let's say, where are you abiding? Where is that place that you are staying, you know, where you are residing in? And are you always aware of where you are living? As a believer, we need to be always aware that we've been transferred from this kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved Son. So this is the kingdom of light, or another word is the kingdom of God. So here we are now in the kingdom of God as believers. So are we living in this place, or are we just visiting? Last week, I talked about distortions and illusions. Those were the words that were chosen for this message, distortions and illusions. And I shared the definitions of distortions and illusions, and that these are the things that exist in the world when we are living outside of God. We become exposed and influenced by distortions and illusions because they are not the reality of God. Most of the stuff that we're seeing in the world is a perversion of God's truth. Distortion. Distortion means the action of giving a misleading account or impression. A misleading account or impression. So the whole point is to mislead you by giving you a false impression, by giving you a misrepresentation, a perversion, a falsification. The other word, illusion. An illusion is a thing that is or is likely to be wrongly perceived or interpreted by the senses. They want you to see one thing, but really what it is another thing. And if you're interpreting it by your senses and you're not spiritually discerning an illusion, you will come under the power of that illusion. Another meaning for illusion is a deceptive appearance or impression, a misconception, false idea of belief. See, there's a whole belief system that is a complete illusion. An illusion is also a mirage, a hallucination, a delusion, a phantom, an apparition, a fantasy, or a trick. This is all the kinds of things that's being offered to us in this world apart from God. We are warned to be in this world, but not of this world. In it, but not of it. We all live, move, and have our being in Him. Believers and non-believers alike, we exist in Him. And that is because He is the Creator. God is the Creator of all things. So we live, move, and have our being in God, who is the Creator of this universe. Everything that exists was created. Nothing existed outside of Him. He is the power that holds all things together. And that is why we can see in our lives actually a testament of this truth is that before we were saved, how He was acting on our behalf, how He was drawing and wooing us, how He would send people to deliver messages to us. So we've been moving around in His presence, but unaware, as someone who's unsaved. But once we've been saved, we are immediately translated or transferred from the kingdom of darkness to this kingdom of light, to the kingdom of God, to the kingdom of the beloved Son, Jesus Christ, His kingdom. And so we're no longer under that domain. We're no longer under that power once we have been saved. Hallelujah. Thank you. And a domain is a territory owned or controlled by a ruler or government. And so in the kingdom of darkness, the one who controls that territory and the government that exists is the territory of the enemy. He's the ruler. He's that governing power in the kingdom of darkness. But we've been delivered from his dominion as believers. So we're no longer under his sovereignty. We're no longer under his control. We're no longer under his influence. We're no longer under his power. We are no longer under his lordship. We are redeemed. The debt that we owed as sinners has been paid. We've been bought back, glory to God, by the work of the cross. By the work of the cross. No longer enemies. Hallelujah. Of our God, of our Father. Amen. Amen. Starting today, I'm going to focus on that first question, where are you living? Or you might say, where are you abiding? Where's this place that you are existing in? That is so very important for us to know where we should be living and to stay focused so that we remain in that place, that we abide in that place, that we live in this kingdom of God that we've been transferred into. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So I am going to read from 1 John 2, 15 through 17. And one of the ways to be in this world and not of this world is found in this scripture. 1 John Chapter 2, and I'm going to read verses 15 through 17, and it says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever." Now, reading this scripture, it seems very tough, but it actually isn't. What it's offering us is a place of joy and a place of peace. We have lived under this delusion or this deception that, or this distortion of the truth, that when we are saved, that we can't have fun anymore. That it's all about us giving up things, the things of this world. And we don't want to let go of them because it has been misrepresented what the world is offering us. We don't realize that the world is offering us distortions and illusions. And we partake of things that are actually a lot of times destroying our lives or setting us up for failure or taking us to a place where we're always trying to be happy, trying to be content, trying to find pleasure and to please ourselves. But it's always fleeting, so we always got to do the next thing. It could be anything from drugs to shopping to owning things to hanging out with the right people, the influential people. I mean, all these distortions of the truth. And what God has to offer us is so much more, and there's a fullness of life. And I remember when I was younger, I was slow. I grew up in church, and so I attended out of a habit, but I never really understood what Christ was offering me. I wasn't really being taught truth. I was getting a version of the truth in the church. And I don't want to judge the church, but that's where the church was when I was younger. And I'm 68 years old right now. But when I was younger, coming up in the church, it offered me the version that it had. But because it was not the fullness of truth, it was incomplete, which is what the enemy wants us. He doesn't mind us going to church as long as we're not getting the truth there. Because if we ever get the fullness of the truth that Jesus presented when he was in the earth, the truth that makes us free, the truth that offers us an abundant life, a life where we are complete and lacking in nothing. The enemy does not want us to know this reality. He wants to offer us a false reality. He wants to present something that appears to be good, but yet it cannot really sustain and feed our souls. And so we are never satisfied. We're always looking for that next thing, that next person, whatever it is. We can see now with the things that are currently happening that this world is passing away along with its desires. Staying in that same book, let's move on to this warning. After he says this about not loving the world and the things of the world and understanding what that is. And the only way that you are really going to grasp how good this word is and what it really means, Not the false representation of what it means, but what it really means, is to know this love of God, this perfect love of God. And once you begin to know this love that comes from God, it's the kind of love that can't come from any other place but from God, that will completely satisfy us. And when we begin to live out of that love, God's love for us, we see God's heart. So when we read the scriptures, we read it from God's heart. And it takes on a completely different meaning when we begin to read it out of God's heart for us, out of his love for us.
The word has been misrepresented.
That's the work of the enemy. And think about this. The only way that this misrepresentation of the word exists is because we've got too much of the world in our church environments. That opens the door to the distortions and the illusions. But I don't want to get too far into that, because as we move ahead, I'm going to look at our church organizations, these ministries. I'm going to look at education, the education we get in the world. I'm going to look at the economic system in the world, and I'm going to talk about it, and we're going to look at it based on the word of God. So I'm not going to go any further, but I really want to get into this about this second part of the scripture, starting in verse 18. I'm going to read 18 through 27, and this is actually a warning about the Antichrist. Right, and another meaning for the Antichrist is the lawless one. The lawless one. Think about that, lawlessness. The lawless one. Okay, 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse 18 through 27. Children, it is the last hour. And this is the Amplified, out of the Amplified Bible. Children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. So it's not just one. It's many. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they are not of us. I believe that this is a time that I'm going to just stop right here before I continue to read on. But I believe we are in a time where we're going to see those who we thought were part of us that are not of us. And God is going to make it plain. Okay, let me pick up in verse 20. It says, But you have been anointed by the Holy One. See, that's important. You got to know that you are anointed by the Holy One. This is not something that you can do. This is something that takes place the moment you say yes to the Lord and accept Him as Lord and Savior. You are anointed. The Holy Spirit comes to dwell on the inside of you. And He is the anointed one. Okay? So you have been anointed by the Holy One and you have all knowledge. You have all knowledge. Just think about that. Think about that, because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Verse 21. Let me keep going. Trying not to have a message for each verse. Hallelujah. Okay, verse 21. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, who denies the Father and the Son. Okay.
The one who denies that Jesus is Christ, you will know by their words and their deeds. They can say that they know him, but they are the ones that in those last days, Jesus is like, you know, they say, Lord, Lord, and he'll say, get away from me because I've never known you. So you can discern whether people are of Jesus Christ because their words and their actions will deny his existence. This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. Now, I'm not going to discuss all that these verses are saying. But the one thing I want to focus on is that we can't allow anything to tell us something other than what we find in the scriptures and what the Holy Spirit is speaking right now to our hearts and to our spirits and the things that he's revealing to us. I'm going to read two more verses out of this section. Verse 26 says, I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. But the anointing that you received from him abides in you. The Holy Spirit is your anointing. And you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. At some point in your journey, I know that in the beginning, when you first get saved, especially if you don't know the word of God, and especially if you're not enjoying eating on this bread of life for yourself, and you're getting secondhand, you're getting bread that's been chewed on by someone else and being placed in your mouth. But at some point, you got to know that the anointing that you received abides in you. And that you have no need that anyone should teach you. Right? But as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. So this is key. What I am sharing out of the Word of God And even in my personal testimony, it should be something that you already know. Of course, we need to keep hearing truth over and over again so that it just becomes second nature to us. And because we're moving from glory to glory, we're also moving in different levels of truth. And so if there's something that I'm saying that you're not able to accept, then you just ask the Holy Spirit. You've got the teacher on the inside of you. I'm trying as much as possible to just read these scriptures and just reiterate what the scriptures are saying and keeping my personal opinion out. And I'm trying to do this to the best of my ability. But you have received the anointing. He abides in you. The Holy Spirit is your anointing. He lives in you. He can tell you everything that is true. When you read the scriptures, if there's something that you don't understand, the Holy Spirit will reveal it to you. Or he'll lead you to a teaching. Someone else happened to be sharing on the very scripture that you may have been having difficulty understanding. And this person will say it in such a way that it'll ring true to your spirit, man. And you'll know that you've heard truth. And you must rely on the Holy Spirit. He's the one that's going to always nudge you. He's going to set off the alarm when something's not right. He is there for you. 100% for you. Like no other person can be. The Holy Spirit, he's your comforter. He's your confidant. He intercedes for you. He prays through you when you don't know what to pray. Hallelujah. He is very, very important to your life. Be intimately acquainted with the Holy Spirit. Intimately acquainted. Let's look in Matthew chapter 24. And let's see, where do I want to start? I'm going to start in verse 24. And I'm reading this out of the Message Bible, this particular scripture. It says, fake messiahs and lying preachers are going to pop up everywhere. Their impressive credentials and dazzling performances will pull the wool over your eyes, will pull the wool over the eyes of even those who ought to know better. But I'm giving you fair warning. The English Standard Version reads like this. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there he is, do not believe it. For false Christs, see, it's plural, false Christs, and false prophets, these both plural, more than one, will arise and perform great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect, us, the elect, the chosen ones. See, I have told you beforehand. See, we're being told this beforehand. And we don't have to be fearful about it. Because he's reminding us also that we have the Holy Spirit. We don't have to rely on some man to tell us whether someone's a false prophet. Because, you know, men always want to say, oh, this is false doctrine. Don't listen to this person. You know, the Holy Spirit will tell you. Be under the control of the Holy Spirit, not under the control of man. He is part of the Godhead. And because the Godhead is never separated, the Son is present and the Father is present also. But the Holy Spirit has been assigned to teach us in these last days. He's been sent. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I'm starting verse 9. Let me read this. The coming of the Antichrist, the lawless one, is through the activity of Satan. So when you see lawlessness, know that it's the activity of Satan. When you see lawlessness, know that this is the activity of Satan. I'm going to pause right here. Come back to that scripture, but I want to take this moment to share an experience I had with the Holy Spirit just to demonstrate how he will warn you when something is not right, when something is deceptive, when something is really an illusion. It's not real. And this was early in my walk in the Lord. As I said, I'm 68 now, and this happened when I was 39. And the reason it's so clear in my mind, because I was in the middle of a huge challenge or a tribulation. It was truly a tribulation. My husband was critically ill in the hospital, and I was raising my young daughter and also my niece, who had quite a bit of health challenges, and she had some mental challenges. So now I'm dealing with this sick husband, and a friend in the building that I lived in, and this is in New York City, invited me to come to the Bible study that she was having in her home, which I did. I attended it. And then I was invited to attend a Sunday service. Now, all the things that I was hearing from these people, it was from the scriptures. But as I was interacting with them and listening to how they were presenting the gospel, all of a sudden there was an uneasiness that I was beginning to feel inside. And so even though they were using scriptures, the Holy Spirit was warning me that things weren't as they appeared to be. And what I later found out, I sort of removed myself from being a part of the Bible study, and I never went back to that church. But what I found out later, that it was more of a cult environment, because once you became a part of this ministry, you were expected not to go to other churches or listen to other teachings, and you had to stay within that community. And I'm saying all of this to say that you can count on the Holy Spirit. He is there. And you have to get, you have to develop a trust, knowing that he's there with you. And that he is going to be that one who is going to teach you. He's going to comfort you. He's going to warn you when you need it. He's going to admonish you when you're off track. But he's faithful and you can rely on him. And that is very, very necessary. As I'm reading these scriptures about false Christs and false prophets, and these deceptive miracles and manifestations, we need to be able to discern which is a spiritual thing. We need to be able to discern good from evil, even if it appears to be something good. We need to be able to discern if this thing is a delusion or an illusion or a deception. Amen. And which is why I just feel really compelled to focus on, you know, where are you living? Where am I living? Am I living in the kingdom of God? When I see things that don't belong to the kingdom of God, am I able to be in this world but not of it? I can see these things going on around me, but I recognize that they are not truth, that they are a distortion of truth, that they are an illusion, that they are a misrepresentation or a perversion. We are the new creation. As Jesus is, so are we in this earth. And just as Jesus was able to see when he was being set up to be trapped by people, being questioned in such a way to set him up to be lied to, he could discern what people were thinking. We have to become as Jesus is. And it is a process. But it's a process that requires that we participate in that process, that we focus and give it full attention. We give attention to more things that are temporal in nature, that they will pass away, that they're always changing. What is of God is eternal, and it is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. Those are the things that will stand, and it will stand no matter what is going on around us. So I just wanted to share that particular story. I will try, let me see, I think I'm going to go back to this Second Thessalonian scripture, and I'll start again. I'll start from the verse I just read, because I read verse 9. This is Second Thessalonians chapter 2, and I'm going to start in verse 9 again. I'm going to try and get through verses 9 through 12, and we'll see how that goes. The coming of the Antichrist, the lawless one, is through the activity of Satan, attended with great power, all kinds of counterfeit miracles and deceptive signs and false wonders, all of them lies, and by unlimited seduction to evil and with all the deception of wickedness for those who are perishing, because they did not welcome the love of the truth of the gospel so as to be saved. They were spiritually blind and rejected the truth that would have saved them. They rejected the truth that would have saved them. Verse 11, because of this, God will send upon them a misleading influence, an activity of error and deception, so that they will believe the lie. Verse 12, in order that all may be judged and condemned who did not believe the truth about their sin and the need for salvation through Christ, but instead took pleasure in unrighteousness. In the English Standard Version, verse 12 reads, therefore God sends them a strong delusion so that they may believe what is false. And that's what happens when we are participating in falsehoods and misrepresentations and perversions that we can't even recognize the difference between a lie and a truth. And God just gives us over to that. If that's how you want to practice living your life, God gives you over to that. And it becomes such a strong delusion that you begin to believe what is false. I like the way also the Message Bible reads that same verse 11. It says, and since they're obsessed with evil, God rubs their noses in it, gives them what they want. Since they refuse to trust truth, they're banished to their chosen world of lies and illusions. They've been banished to their chosen world of lies and illusions. Where are you living? Where are you living? What you are believing has a lot to do with where you live, where you abide. The life of Jesus is the greatest example of how we are to live in the earth. And he assured us we would be okay. Once he left the earth, the Holy Spirit would come and live on the inside of us, the Spirit of truth, who would reveal all things to us, would not leave us in the darkness. And we can trust on that. We can trust in that. I'm going to stop right here and we will continue. I don't know how long this is going to take, but for some reason, today I was led to really focus on those particular scriptures that I've read about in the last days, the things that we need to be aware of. We've been told beforehand what it looks like. And in fact, from the time that Jesus entered the earth and returned to his Father, we entered into the last days, and these last days have been progressing, and they're waxing worse and worse. The world is getting darker, but that is what we were told, that we were warned of, so that we would be prepared, not just knowing that something is going to happen, but also God has prepared us to deal with the environment where these things will be happening so that we will not be fearful. We will have a strong mind. We will be operating in his power and in his love. This is all available to us. Where are you living? Where are you living? So I'll pick up next week, see what the Holy Spirit is doing next week, and we'll just kind of plow through this process together and just have great expectation of what the Lord is going to speak to you in this season. we want to be ready to receive what he has for us. We prepare it by having new wineskins. Amen. Amen. So, Father, I thank you. I thank you for the broadcast today. I thank you for the spirit of truth that lives on the inside of us, always guiding and directing us, that we can rely on that. I thank you. I thank you for your spirit of peace and your spirit of joy, your spirit of love, your spirit of rest, that your peace and your joy is something that the world cannot take away from us. It is ours. We can possess it. Amen. So thank you. Thank you. I thank you for the listeners. I thank you that their hearts are blessed and that their hearts are strengthened today, Lord. And they've heard something that will catapult them into that next place that you're calling them to. So thank you. Bless your holy name. Bless your holy name. You are high and lifted up. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, this is the end of our broadcast for today. Amen. Thank you for joining me. Tomorrow, Friday night, we've got Friday Night Joy with Pastor Ray Rose, and that's 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So be blessed. Go forth. Go forth with great expectation of what God is doing for you in this season. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you. God bless you.
And I'll say yes to your